You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 802. The big story is that Tony Busby, the lawyer here who ran for mayor, is filed suit against Deshaun Watson, representing a female masseuse who claims that there was some inappropriate behavior. We don't know what that behavior was, but there was some inappropriate behavior. Deshaun denies it. He says it's just about money. He wants to clear his name and blah, blah, blah. So this is going to play out. I am shocked. You cannot have it. There has not been a day on ESPN where Deshaun Watson hasn't been one of the main stories. I've yet to see any of this. I've not seen on their Sports Center update at 6:30 driving in, not a word about it. And I'm like, this is kind of a big deal if there's an accusation of sexual inappropriateness.
Yeah. You know, once again, I don't think they want to give this light until they know there's... Okay, are we sure that it's been filed?
According to Tony Busby, if you look at ESPN's site on the side, it's the second story under Trent Williams signing. So it's just over there, just not on TV for whatever reason.
Yeah. I think on TV they want more information.
Well, or on radio. It wasn't on radio either. But
I think they want more information.
Yeah, so everybody.
But it's on the biggest digital platform.
Yeah, yeah.
For sports in the world. So it's on there. It's Sarah Barchop. I think they just want to get more information like we do.
Yeah, yeah. You
should want more information.
That, absolutely. Before you make any decisions or to any accusations or take a side, I mean, there's no sides here. If Deshaun did it, he's wrong. And if he didn't, she's wrong. But no one knows.
And what they do and their content isn't about taking a measured approach. It's, I have an opinion. This is what I think. I don't think they want to jump out with one of their strong takes, per se, when there's no real information.
No, but there's other ways to approach it.
But they don't do that.
Well, they could approach it. What does this do to the market, to Deshaun's market? I mean, well, that's not the most important thing here.
Okay. They would talk in those hushed tones about
it. Yeah, you have to. But you have to say it. Now, that's certainly not the most important thing here.
Of course.
But now let's talk about the football side of this.
The Deshaun thing is big news, but how did we miss the signing of Derek Rivers by the Texans?
Oh, former Patriot Derek Rivers?
Yeah.
You don't have to look. I know he is.
And we know they have he and the family have a strong relationship with Jack Easterby.
He did their wedding?
My wife has a great relationship with Holly and their kids. We just knew he was the guy for us. Look at Lance.
So Jack Easterby
officiated their wedding.
He officiated their wedding.
Yes.
Derek. Lance has quit the show. He slammed his laptop. He got up. He was going to walk out the door.
Then he realized he had a job to do, so he stayed.
Yeah.
Apparently, the Rivers family celebrated Easter at the Easterby home.
Well, so, and what's the problem with that?
No, I'm just giving you some information on new signing Derek Rivers, defensive end.
So, and what's the problem?
Did I give you a negative connotation?
No.
That's just information.
Right, I'm going to throw this out there. I don't even know. Derek Rivers' Twitter, pull it up. Is there going to be a Bible verse within the last six posts? Yes or no? I haven't even pulled it up. I have to now turn my computer. I have to log back in after slamming my computer shut. So, Derek Rivers, Twitter or Instagram?
Well, I mean, it's not a Bible verse, but his latest retweet. Oh, he hasn't tweeted in a long time, though. Okay. But this is from 2020. His last anything on Twitter was, "You can't trust God and worry at the same time." It's a retweet from whoever Terry Grassetti is. So,
well, that's kind of, man, yeah, he didn't mess with Twitter.
Okay, so this was also on... Well, this is in the announcement. This was posted. For dozens of players, Easterby became an essential part of their lives. After the Patriots took Derek Rivers in the third round of the 2017 NFL draft, Easterby greeted the defensive end at team headquarters with a bear hug. Rivers called his mother after their initial meetings. "You got to meet Jack Easterby," he gushed. Eventually, Easterby performed the wedding ceremony for Rivers and his then-girlfriend, Lauren, twice. The first was small, done quickly, Easterby told Rivers, so that he could concentrate on football in his rookie season and still live with his wife.
Oh, no, there's lots of...
And then later, a larger ceremony in the offseason. One year, Easterby invited Rivers offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels and their families to celebrate Easter at his home, complete with an egg hunt and a wiffle ball contest.
Oh, I mean, he's big-time God guy. Looking down his Twitter, including retweets of multiple retweets of Dylan Thompson.
And
that's your homie, John.
And let's point out that he was a third rounder for the Patriots in 17.
He was not a good player.
And not a good player. So it's another Caserio whiff. Well, unless we want to blame Bill Belichick for it, who they've brought in.
Well, now, though, you're going to get him a little bit on the cheap, and he's going to turn into a great, great player.
Is that so?
Yeah.
Where he was really – well, he got hurt in 19, so he's out of football.
David Culley got the word, we don't cut Derek Rivers?
He better know better. Well, he doesn't make personnel decisions anyway. That's a Caserio thing, right?
I mean –
No. He doesn't sign players, but Culley's going to –
He's not going to decide who gets cut.
Oh my God, he's retweeted Derek. He's retweeted Dylan Thompson like 100 million times. This is
so have I. So,
oh, no, because, you haven't.
We're against Derek Rivers because he believes in God.
We're building a whole team in Jack Easterby's likeness.
Okay.
Quit trying to be a Christ figure. Stop building everybody in your own likeness. How about just build a team where guys can tackle, run, catch, cover, and on the you know what? And on the third day, he created man coverage. On the fourth day, God created press man with the ability to play some cover three and an ability to play with leverage to limit the amount of catch space that wide receivers had. On the fourth day, the Lord created a guard who could protect on the interior. How about that, Jack?
I don't remember reading that in the Bible.
How about you find something in there?
I don't remember that in the Bible.
And on the sixth day, a linebacker that could actually make a tackle near the line of scrimmage, instead of Zach Cunningham grabbing and going for rides down the field like, whee! Drag you along, whee!
He seems upset.
They got that.
God, man.
They got that in a Christian.
Ooh, Christian Kirksey.
Okay.
Look at that.
That's what they got.
Go check his Twitter. Go check whatever his first tweet is. Go ahead. Everybody the Texans signed now, they're all, and look, I am Christian. That's fine. I don't need my team to like, and with you. Is this what they're going to do every time that they're in the...
Under his eye?
But no.
No.
No, not under his eye.
Hold on. In his profile, the first words are all glory to God.
Dan?
No,
so
I'm just,
that's fine.
I'm not complaining. I'm just pointing out Lance is correct.
What are the odds that the NFL players, all that the Texans all bring in, are like that?
God, you've been so good to me. Through it all, you've been there. Thank you.
Who
March
else?
11.
Just come up with another random Texan, a guy they've signed that had a New England tie. Who was the other one?
Termon. What was his name?
No, Terrence Brooks. Check Terrence Brooks' Twitter. Yeah, 1,200 followers. This won't even be a fun game.
Well, he played on that Florida State national title team, I think. He might have had a lot of followers.
Not worried about it. There's no Psalms.
No,
there.
There's no.
He has over 14,000 followers.
Okay, and?
I'm going through it. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Don't know if that's a Bible thing or a rap thing.
It's getting close. It's getting close.
But he hasn't tweeted since. He doesn't tweet often, though.
Yeah.
So he's not one of those guys who will tweet all the time.
This has nothing to do with religion. It has everything to do with stop trying to build a team to look just like you, Jack, to be as insulated, make this team as insulated as possible. They did it with Brandon Cooks is another guy. I mean, I cannot tell you.
But Brandon Cooks is at least a good football player.
And these are hard to tell because these are former Patriots. You know, they're former Patriots, and Nick Caserio was there, and this is not unusual. Every time you come, this is normal. The Jets brought in Quincy Wilson, and Rex had been with their assistant GM, had been with the Colts. So you bring in guys, you know, Gary Kubiak with Broncos. This is not unusual to bring in guys you know. But it's like a step further, unless
all of New England was literally just into Bible verses, every player. Maybe that's the case. I don't know. I just noticed Shaq Mason is like that too. He's their right guard. What is Dylan Thompson again? Character coach?
I believe so.
That's just that's Jack hiring one of his dudes.
Yeah.
That's all that is. Well, this is like all cronyism.
No, he's
yeah, no. No, the Texans
well,
are cronies.
Jack is above now the team chaplain, and so
man,
he needed
I
a team chaplain.
Keep doing
when Bill
this.
When Bill Belichick became the head coach, he needed a defensive coordinator. He couldn't do it anymore. Jack needed now a guy that's going to do the day-to-day work, Christian work, and that's you know what? That's fine. That's what Dylan Thompson's here for. Okay. That's why I follow him.
That's why you follow him, I know.
And KJ points out, and he's right. I knew it was familiar. No weapon formed against me shall prosper is a verse from Psalm 23. So
first... Very first thing.
Very first thing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's fine. That's no, great.
It's fine.
That's great.
I mean, I wish he was a better football player.
Oh, so no, I wish he was, flashing gang signs.
No.
I wish he was, quoting
right.
Rappler.
Bring up another free
did
agent.
I say that?
Just another random free agent. Who else?
I don't know. Who do you?
Who was that backup guard they had?
From the Packers and
Trevor
Browns?
Clarivian.
You made that. No, Trevor Clarivian.
No, what?
It wasn't Trevor Clarivian.
I can't remember the guy's name. Who was that other guard? He never played with the Patriots, though. So.
But he's a former Brown, so that makes sense.
What's his name?
I'll find him.
So,
Justin
McCray? You're talking about Justin McCray?
Yeah.
I got to go through all these marginal players' Twitter.
Yes,
accounts.
Justin McCray and Justin Britt. See what Justin Britt's got.
No, Justin Britt
is just desperate
about getting
to play football.
But we got to get guys from the Patriots that he knew.
Atlanta Falcon O-line? Is that where they brought him from?
What about Tremont Smith? Where'd he come from?
He's a Colt.
Michael Thomas? No. Not Michael Thomas.
Justin McCray, Atlanta Falcon O-line, right?
Yeah, but he hasn't tweeted since 17.
What about Kevin Pierre-Lewis?
Well, the 8th. Actually, he tweets all the time, or at least retweets, but I haven't seen a Bible verse yet from him.
There's no Bible verses?
Not
how do we
Justin
sign him?
Well, he's a
one
former, he's a former Brown, so that's how it worked out.
Former Browns, we know, aren't going to be godly.
This is not.
Not if Dorsey signs you.
No.
814. He's former Brown. You don't have to look at him.
No, you don't worry about that. What we have to worry about is our patio. That's what we got to worry about.
Texas Custom Patios is so after spring break, we're going to start our discussions about what the kitchen's going to look like. I couldn't be more excited. You know, I knew I had good space. It would be good for a patio just the way it was set up. But what I had no idea is how Stephen Shell went out there. He goes, oh, this is absolutely perfect. And he could see it. Like, he's done so many designs of patios that no matter what your backyard looks like, he can see the design in his head. And then you will see it with their CAD drawings that he does, where you see an exact replica of what your patio is going to look like. And it's truly amazing work that they do. It's off the charts. They win awards every single year for the quality of their work. And you absolutely are going to get what you pay for. And really, you're going to get more than that. They can transform the back of your home into an amazing oasis with that patio. And they can do so much more. They can build pool houses. They can build room extensions, sunrooms, anything that you want. Texas Custom Patios can do, and they do it for a price. Whatever they say the price is, it's going to stay that. And whatever they say the time frame is, it's going to stay that. They take all the hassle away from you so you can completely relax and let them do their work. Texas Custom Patios, sign up right now for a free consultation and get started seeing if they could transform your home as well. TexasCustomPatios.com.
ESPN 97.5. Listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Oh, this is kind of funny. Tom Pelissero tweets out, and you got to believe everything Tom Pelissero tweets out, because, you know, Cruzier Hill is, you know, one of the best cover linebackers in the game.
Stop it.
Tom Pelissero tweets, the Rams are finalizing a trade to send veteran defensive lineman Michael Brockers to the Lions, per sources. 2 weeks ago, Michael Brockers said, Matthew Stafford is a level up over Jared Goff. So now he's going to be back with Jared Goff after he just crushed him. NFL GM. Hey, where's that guy who openly said our current quarterback isn't that good? Let's trade for him.
What's up, dog? Hey, they're on opposite sides of the locker room.
It'll yeah. And oh, by the way, Jared Goff ain't going to say nothing to Michael Brockers.
No. And Brockers.
Michael Brockers is a huge human too. Being. He is, too. By the way, if Jared Goff said anything to him, he said, I ain't lying. Matthew Stafford is a level
wrong.
Up.
It's Detroit now. You don't matter anymore.
No.
Your careers are both dead.
Look, I'm not worried. Look, the locker room, Jared Goff ain't going to say nothing. But to come down from living in L.A. to living in Detroit. Blake Griffin knew all about that. He was like, this sucks.
Oh, let's see if Jared Goff, is that his girlfriend or his wife?
Girlfriend. That's his girlfriend. Well, she's going to stick around. He's got that big deal. She don't care.
Oh, I'm sorry. There's no other quarterbacks that she could get with.
Well,
wait. NFL stands for what?
She's already got one.
What is NFL?
Not for long.
Not for long. Not for long. If you keep me here in Detroit.
Okay. Yesterday, Mike Breen on a telecast. And in the Rockets pregame show yesterday, this was talked about. Mike Breen on his pregame. I was going to ask you to look for this, but what he said was, man, I'll tell you what, James Harden looks rejuvenated. James Harden is fun to watch. James Harden in Houston, it wasn't always fun. He had to take on the offense. He had to ball hog. He had to do everything, and it just wasn't fun basketball to watch. Now, the passes, the way how enthusiastic he is, first in the building, last to leave. James Harden.
Hey, is that true?
That is true.
Mike first Breen in better. The building, apparently last to leave.
Mike Breen better cut it out. Man.
He's setting a tone there.
Well, sure. Mike Breen better. He's passing the ball. He averaged 11 assists last year.
Well, he did because he had the ball 90% of the time in his hands. He had to average. And they averaged 12 a game, and he had 11.
Well, Durant's been out quite a bit, and despite their conversation, James Harden's their point guard.
Exactly, but I don't disagree with one thing Mike Breen said. He is more fun to watch. He's sharing the ball more. He's not dribble, 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 dribble. He is playing better. He's become a leader. Yes, he is more rejuvenated. He is all of those things. And if you deny that, and he wasn't fun to watch. Rockets basketball to watch with James Harden standing out there is just like they won.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you know what? It was great to see a winning team. And boy, do you miss those days now when, you know, you won games. You remember that? Remember when you used
yeah,
to?
Yeah, it was nice.
Before the pandemic?
Mm-hmm. And one correction. The 11 assists is what he averaged for the Rockets to start this season, even though he wasn't really trying.
Yeah, no, he averaged close to a triple-double. I mean, no, maybe not a triple-double. He averaged, what, seven assists a game or something in his good years?
Well, the last 3 years is when he upped the shots. But he had his average 11 assists in a season for the Rockets once. But last year it was 7 and 34 points. Yeah,
seven. I mean, that's still, I mean, you know, that's good. I mean, 7 assists for the guy who has the guy who's your leading scorer, that's okay. Whatever the case may be. I'm not... let's not rewrite history. It wasn't fun to watch James Harden here.
But was he rejuvenated? Is he rejuvenated?
Absolutely.
Or is it just he has better players to pass the ball to?
Rejuvenated is a word that makes sense.
Well, here's the deal.
I don't think his game is
I take him for his word, too. I take him at his word that he says, I didn't want to do that. You don't think he's having more fun with really, really good players that, first of all, he respects, that he can trust, that he knows will make baskets, that he doesn't have to be the entire show every single night? I absolutely believe that
belief.
That he feels like he's in a better place.
He is.
And he feels like he doesn't. And listen, we all thought, oh, sure, James, you don't want the spot. Yeah, I could see where he really doesn't want to have the whole weight of the world on his shoulders every single night.
It actually is. It is. J.J. Watt loves it. I don't know. I think that J.J. loves everything about it, I think. I mean, he takes the personal... He takes the stuff he needs to do with fans and all that. He's willing to do that. I think Deshaun likes a lot of it. I'm just going by the stars in Houston, right? I think James likes all the trappings that come with it. I think he likes the power, the money, the perks... I know he doesn't like the fan stuff, but I think it's pretty safe to assume he doesn't love having to be the, like, he doesn't need to be the, he wants his way without having to be the alpha who takes on the major responsibilities. That and that makes him a very unique, because most guys in that position, they do like that. Look at the guys he brought in. That's a type A personality in Chris Paul. Russell Westbrook, that's a type A personality. I think he was fine with them having whatever shine they wanted. It's just the basketball stuff, he wants his own.
Well, until Chris Paul couldn't play anymore. When Chris Paul wasn't nearly as good as he was, he didn't respect him anymore. And
That's on James. Chris Paul wanted you to prepare.
No, but Chris Paul
wasn't
good,
though. And so did Russell Westbrook. I don't care. Chris Paul wasn't wrong.
He did.
Yeah, but Chris Paul wasn't wrong. Prepare like a pro. Was Russell Westbrook, when he said, I'm out of here, and all that stuff about James would just go off the Cabo between games? I mean, look, that James still exists. He's showing you his best side. You knew he would this year. There was never a doubt about that.
He can't be the guy that comes in and screws it up.
No, Barkley and Drexler got along great year one. You know, I still think that by year two, Kyrie and James could be a little different. I don't think it's going to happen year one.
No, absolutely. With Dwight it happened, with Chris Paul it happened, with Russ it happened. You know, they're going to get tired of it. Unless they perform, they win, everybody does their part. Kyrie scores, Kevin Durant scores, James scores, they're all having. Now, maybe, because let's face it, all the other guys fell off. Dwight was the only guy that showed up in the Portland series. Remember that James sucked and Dwight was actually really good, and he was the only one that showed up. But Dwight was a pain in the ass. Dwight is you weren't winning anything with Dwight, and I think maybe James realized it. But to let's not rewrite history here. It was hard. It's not as hard as it is to watch right now, but it was hard to watch James night in and night out.
Well, for you, but there are other people who love James the way he played.
The way he played.
The Rockets played.
I don't know how you could love that.
Well, I can just type in Rockets Twitter, and they'll tell you how great he was, and they loved what he did.
They loved winning games. They loved James scoring 35. They loved
that stuff.
There's a lot of people who just love. Look, James, you're also a little bit jaded because you saw it over and over. James, when he got hot, step back threes, his finishes around the paint, James could.
Listen,
you don't like the style of basketball.
And listen, I don't, and I'm not alone. Every NBA player,
I don't.
But listen. James has had a stigma on him. I don't want to play with that guy. He was not even selected for all-star teams because of his style of play. James is playing different right now. James is playing different than
he did. It's not James's style, but James played that way in Houston because Daryl Morey even
said it. He had to.
But Daryl said it. Daryl said, if in baseball, if we could give Mike Trout all the at-bats, every at-bat, 27, he would get all of them.
I know.
I can give James every at-bat.
Right.
And that's Daryl's mode, and I think James played into
However, when you've got Kevin Durant and you've got Kyrie Irving, James doesn't have to take every at-bat. And James actually, I do believe.
I agree with you.
He's enjoying it having the weight of the world on his shoulders.
James doesn't want the weight of the world
on
his shoulders.
No.
He doesn't.
For Mike Breen to say that, and they were disagreeing. I was like, that Mike Breen is dead on.
People are upset.
He is dead on.
Rocket fans foresaw this coming, that once he left, everyone would appreciate James more. And they're like, wait a minute. He was a great player here. All of a sudden, the accolades are coming because when he's gone. I don't know if that's their perception or that's reality, but you could tell Rocket people were like, you know what? Once he leaves, people are going to appreciate James more. And that has been the case, whether it's style of player or whatever.
I don't know that that's the case.
Well, that's
you don't think
I was with people last night. Honestly, we were talking about this very thing, and I brought up the Mike Trout thing, and a guy was like, you know, I know this sucks right now, but I just couldn't get behind James. I just couldn't.
Well, but other people appreciate.
Yeah, I don't know if
not necessarily. It doesn't have to just be here. Nationally, people are appreciating James more.
Yeah, they are.
Well, they're appreciating him more now because he's a different kind of player.
Well, I think he gets to play in a different kind of role.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
He played at Oklahoma City.
But then listen, Daryl said it too. I didn't put enough around him. Yep. You know what? Daryl, you're absolutely right. This is on you. You didn't put enough around him.
No, but some of it's on James too because
he didn't perform in the elimination.
He got nervous in the big stage because he didn't want all that.
Enough around him. What the Nets have done is put two clear Hall of Famers around them. It's kind of hard to do
real
what the Nets have done.
Harris and
James had enough around him.
That's difficult.
When they won 65, James had enough around him.
Clearly.
And they had enough around him.
And when he lost the alpha, James and the rest of that team turtled when it mattered.
He lost Chris Paul, and it'll fall apart.
Yeah, but they brought in the guy that he loves, Russ.
No, yeah, well, whatever. 828 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776 is the number you want to hang. Come on.
Listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 831 ESPN 97.5. We've been promoting this for a while. Good to have Daniel Ewing, local star from Willow Ridge, went on to Duke, and then the Clippers drafted him in 2005. Played 3 years there. And then, I'm going to try this. Played for Kimki, Aseko Prokom Gina, Asopo Maripol, Besikas, Paris Levaloy, Lamon Sart, Neptunus Kalapia, Maccabi Ashdod, Neptunus Kalapia, Faro Kareel Weste, and CSU Sibui.
Same accent on every team.
Well, it's kind of Frenchy, but he did play. He was 3-time Polish League champion. Okay, Polish League Finals MVP.
Some of those had to be Greek teams.
And it sounds like it. Daniel Ewing joining us here on ESPN 97.5. Daniel, how are you?
I'm good, guys. How you doing?
We're good.
Okay. Where of all of those places that you played, did you feel like maybe this is a little dangerous here tonight?
Let's start with Russia.
Russia?
Moscow is a big, nice city, international city, but it is my first year being overseas. That was could have been a, you know, it was a little intimidating the first month or so. There in Ukraine was the worst stop by far.
So what did the fans do? Is it the fans or just because of the way of life?
Ukraine is just the way of life. And Moscow, similar the same way. Like anything goes in Moscow. If you got the money to do it, you can do it pretty much.
My buddy GJ Hunter, who went to Tulane. When I was there, G and I were good friends, and he told me a story about when he went to Russia. He played 1 year in Russia. It was his worst too. He said, he didn't have the adapter so he could, you know, cut his hair with clippers, so his clippers wouldn't work.
That can ruin your life.
That's what he said. And then he also said he got punched outside of a nightclub, got blindsided because he looked at the wrong girl one time. Like, he's like, and the police are sitting there looking, and these are like mafia type dudes. He said, I'm telling you, Russia's super dangerous. He said, they're not happy to see American basketball players there.
Not at all. And like I said, Russia, I've heard incidents like that myself, especially guys going out, getting into some trouble. You got the Russian mafias for real. Mm-hmm. So you got to be careful in any foreign country, man. You have to be careful because you don't know who's who and what's what for the most part. So you got to be very careful about things you're doing.
I want to ask you this before we get into the tournament stuff, because I think this is a fascinating subject. Did you learn more? Like, your growth as a person, was it 4 years at Duke or your international travels as a basketball player? Where did you learn more about life, do you think?
Definitely my international experience, because, you know, it was so different. I had to act, you know, I had to get outside of myself. You know, I had to adjust and adapt to a different culture and the language barrier, you know, so it was my experience overseas.
Yeah. Daniel Ewing with us here on ESPN 97.5, played at Willow Ridge, champion, Duke. Did you win a Duke at the championship?
Nah, we lost in the Final Four my junior year.
Oh, dang.
Came up short.
And then
who won that year?
The Clippers. You weren't a champion there. I know that.
Definitely not.
No. Who won the year that you lost in the Final Four, Daniel?
That was the year UConn won with Emeka Okafor and Ben Gordon.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about this tournament and let's talk about the Cougs, Daniel. What kind of shot you give them? I mean, I like them getting to the Elite Eight. I'm not. Mm-hmm. I think Illinois. That's a tough out right there.
Yeah, I got the same thing here. Realistically, I would love to see these guys get to the Final Four, have a chance to play for a national championship. But realistically, yeah, I got them. I got their run stopping in the Elite Eight against Illinois.
What do you think about Houston and how they play? Kelvin Sampson's one of the college coaches who really brings a disciplined mindset and a lot of defense. And I just feel like I know they can be a little spotty shooting threes, but it just seems like teams that defend have the best chance of moving on, because when things aren't going well for them from the field, they can keep games in check until they can find themselves.
All right, but that's one of the greatest strengths, though, is their defense. And I mean, they found a way all year for guys like Quentin Grimes and Sasser and other guys throughout the year to step up and have big games when, you know, maybe when they're not rolling like they would like to on offense. But yeah, they definitely get after it defensively, and that gives them a great shot at making a great run. But also, that could be one of their greatest weaknesses, is that you have that one night you can't score the basketball. You go up against the right team, it could be over for you.
Daniel Ewing with us here on ESPN 90s. I don't mind their draw, though, as long as they're not in Gonzaga's bracket. I mean, it ain't gonna be easy. Probably Illinois, though, is the second tough. You got Baylor. Baylor is interesting. They had all the COVID stuff, and they, you know, Oklahoma State showed how you can beat them. But I think Illinois might be the second toughest team in this tournament.
Going into the tournament, I believe so too. I'm with you on that. I mean, this team, for me, they're the hottest team at college basketball right now. You know, on the 13-1 in their last 2 months. You know, they figured it out. They're playing well. They got an All-American who's a stud. And so, yeah, this team, to me, is the hottest team in college basketball right now going into the tournament. And, I got them to Baylor facing off in the Final Four. And I have concerns about Baylor also, because they haven't been the same since they came back from their COVID break.
Yeah.
I think that's underrated, is how teams or players come back from COVID. It's, you know, the idea that everyone comes back and they're just fine. There are players right now out there, coaches, players, obviously regular people, who are not at 100%, and it can have an impact. I'm curious about a team that has been able to turn the switch on whenever they want to, and that's obviously Gonzaga. Although they haven't had to most of the year, they did it against BYU, which shows that they could take a test, withstand, and then enforce their will at the end. Where do you rank them in terms of some of the, you know, the better teams that you've seen over the years in college basketball? Where do you rank this this Gonzaga team, who's yet to lose?
Well, it's really hard. It's really hard because, I mean, we'll have to see how they finish this season with the tournament coming on. We'll see how they have to finish. If this team can get to the championship game or the Final Four, then you definitely have to give them their respect and their credit and put them up there with one of the top teams that we've seen, especially in the last decade or so, being that they did finish the season undefeated. But like I said, if they fall short, then, I mean, I think that conversation is much different. And when I say fall short, like if they don't make it to the Final Four, then I think that conversation is much different. I mean, because we've seen teams, we've seen some really good teams over the years. Like Kentucky had that team that was undefeated that I think people thought was one of the best teams, but they eventually didn't win it all. We've seen some teams be undefeated going into the tournament, but not being able to finish it. So,
of the 5-12s, I'm looking at some of the 5-12s. That's where historically a lot of upsets have come, and I'm going to throw these four. UC Santa Barbara, 12 versus 5 Creighton. You've got 12 Winthrop versus 5 Villanova, 12 mm-hmm. Oregon State versus 5 Tennessee, and then 12 Georgetown versus 5 Colorado. Who do you see as the most likely team, the 12 seed, to make it through? Or are there a couple?
I think that I think they're a couple. I think Creighton has had a pretty good season, but the way they got handled in the conference championship game against a Georgetown team who hadn't really played well all year, and the fact that they have some internal issues going on, California Santa Barbara team, I think they have a chance against Creighton. Just me personally, and Winthrop. A lot of people might not know about Winthrop, but they have a pretty special player who's capable of putting up triple doubles and filling up the stat sheet, along with a lot of guys who think they have like five guys averaging double figures, and they're pretty deep. So with Villanova not being fully healthy, Colin Gillespie is out for the rest of the season, and if Moore can't play, then that Villanova team is vulnerable in that game as well.
I want to jump back on what you said about the internal stuff. I think people forget Creighton is that same team. That's a team where who was the coach?
Greg Montgomery.
Yeah, Greg Montgomery. Yeah. So I wonder if people remember the internal issues with Creighton. That can have I'm assuming that can have a really big impact moving forward. Not just when it's in the news cycle, but it's something that's going to stay with the team. Have you ever been on a team at any level where things just festered and the chemistry wasn't good, or there was some underlying issue and it kind of rotted out the rest of the season?
I sure have. Not at the college level, but at the professional level. I have. And like I said, we was a team we were a team favorite to win it all, you know, in the country I was playing in. And we had the talent, and it didn't affect us as a group, but just knowing the things that was going on with the management, and we had all these coaches changes. We really had to, by the end of the year, man, we was like, man, to hell with it, man. We just out here.
Daniel Ewing with us here on ESPN 97.5. We're going to take a break. Can you hang for another segment? I got a lot of stuff that we want to ask you about this tournament, a lot of prop bets that maybe you can help us out with.
Oh, for sure.
Okay, Daniel Ewing here. Willow Ridge, Duke, and Clippers, and then throughout Europe, we will get his insight on a lot of stuff going on here. Right now, I want to talk about my peeps over at Chastain Ford. If you're an electrician, a plumber, a construction worker, a contractor, if you're in roofing, restoration, whatever the case may be, you need a transit van, or you need a pickup, or you need a vehicle that is going to be perfect for your job description. And this is what Chastain Ford does every single day. They are the best at this. They are the number one commercial vehicle dealer for Ford in the city of Houston. That is saying something. For a dealership that maybe you haven't heard of before you started listening to the show, there's a good chance that that's because they never advertised before, and yet they were number one. You know why? It's because they do everything right. And they're doing it right this month with Ford Truck Month. You are going to get the best deal, the most robust warranties. You're going to get the standards of quality and capability. You're going to get it all with the Ford, and you're going to get the best deal you can possibly get at Chastain Ford with no hidden add-ons. They just don't do it. You're looking for that Ford car or truck. There's one place to go, and that's Chastain Ford. You can do it all online at ChastainFord.com or get to the showroom. It's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown. It's Chastain Ford.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
The fun thing about the Super Bowl and the NCAA tournament are the fantastic prop bets that you can get. Of course, our place is MyBookie. You can find them all over. Daniel Ewing is with us here on ESPN 97.5. Let's put a couple of prop bets out there for you, Daniel. Highest margin of victory in one game in the round of 64, 37.5. Cool. Over or under?
In which round?
In the first, in the round of 64. Will a team win by more than 37.5 points?
Over or under? I'll say over.
Over. I think a 40-point win is in store. Absolutely.
You think so?
We've seen plenty of them.
I say over. I mean, we got some strong one seeds. So I think one of those teams could possibly be the team to do it.
Highest combined points scored by two teams 185.5.
Ooh, that'd take an overtime, wouldn't it?
It would, you know, and it's overtime is in play, obviously, but that's a lot of points.
Yeah, that's a lot of points. I'll say under.
You say under.
Yeah, I would too.
I'm going to say under as well. Highest point total scored by one team, 100.5. Will the team score 101 points?
I'll say under.
No?
Yeah, I don't think you can like the under and the other one without like, yeah. No, I don't think
so. Yeah,
I'll say under, yeah. One thing is teams can bomb out threes, but when you – in the tournament, once you get that big lead, you're going to have starters. Yeah, you're going to have starters sit.
Right. Lowest combined points scored by two teams, 102.5. So it's a 51-50 game.
You know what? But I could see that going under because they have some games where there's just some games where it gets very slow and both teams are defending, neither team shooting well.
60-40, you could see that.
Yeah. That's pretty tough, too, though.
True. I'm going to go over.
Is Virginia, yeah. If, as long as Virginia is playing, it's a possibility.
Yeah.
True. Yeah. Yeah. You're right. You're absolutely right.
Lowest point total scored by one team, 47.5. I think you'll have a team score under 47.5.
Well, why don't we name the team? Ohio, who's playing Virginia.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
If we're going to look at a team who might do that.
Yeah, I could certainly see
64-45, something like that.
Will a one seed be losing or tied at halftime in the round of 64?
Ooh. I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Not
either.
Of these. Not of these.
No, it's my. You got to lay 1-5 though.
All right. Will a two seed?
Let's see.
Will a two seed be? That's not okay. On here. That's not on here because that's a real possibility.
Houston's not going to. That's not a good match. I was looking at that matchup. I don't think Houston would be the team. Let me see. Who are the other twos?
Ohio State.
It's possible, man. It's the tournament. It's possible.
It's possible.
Yeah. It's possible. I mean, it's Alabama. I own a game with Rick Pitino being back in the tournament. Like, that could be a game where give Alabama a scare to start the first half. Like, who knows?
Yeah, and Iona's not bad.
All kinds of good stuff here. I lost it for a second here. Will a 12 seed beat a 5 seed? You know, that's a big favorite. A 12 seed is -400. Yes, is -400. But I think it only happens. I saw a stat that it happens once every three games or so. I guess that would be then you would say yes it will. It's -400. I mean, you gotta lay 4-1 on that.
We went through with Daniel all one the different four. Teams. He thinks more than one team
mm-hmm.
has a good shot.
I think it happens. And it possibly is more than one team.
Which
more than one 12 seed.
Which do you think is the best? So Big 12 has 7 teams in it, right? ACC has 7. The Big 10 has 9 teams in it. Under over on Big Ten teams to advance, 7.5. So they can only have one loss. The Big Ten can only have one loss in the first round. Do you think that more than one Big Ten team will lose?
Let's see. I'm actually, especially early in the earlier rounds, I'm actually going with the Big Ten team just because they had the best conference in college basketball this year, and so I think all those teams are battle-tested and ready for whatever.
Iowa, yeah. Ohio State, Illinois,
Michigan
yeah. One. Yeah,
Purdue.
You said Purdue, more than
even,
one?
Even Maryland.
Maryland's solid, so yeah, I would say one. And your prop was over.
It's 7.5. Right? It's 7.5. You go over.
Yeah.
So not two teams. How about the Big 12? Will two teams lose?
Yes.
There's a chance.
I could see Oak State.
I don't see
Baylor.
Oak State's got a.
Are y'all buying into? They're highly rated, but you know, I just
Oklahoma's
not all
got
the way
a tough
into,
game.
I think Oklahoma could lose. I'm not buying into Texas, but for the first round, I will.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Absolutely. Absolutely. Daniel Ewing with us here on ESPN. So you got Gonzaga, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, this is the most. But you know what, Daniel? Everybody's got Gonzaga. You know what that means? there's no chance Gonzaga wins this thing.
Right, but you meant winning it all. Actually, I don't have Gonzaga. I'm so torn right now. Like I said, I'm really high on Illinois, especially seeing how they played this over the conference tournament and then seeing them look good throughout the season. But I'm really high on Illinois. And like I said, Baylor not looking how they looked since they come back from the COVID thing. I was really hoping for a Zags-Baylor final, you know, before Baylor went on their hiatus with COVID. But I think Illinois could actually win it all.
Yeah, no, I agree. And you know what? You're gonna get pretty darn good odds because everybody in the world right now, that those odds are going to go down for Gonzaga because Vegas is just getting inundated. And you know what? Listen, Vegas wasn't built on a bunch of smart gamblers, and it wasn't built on a bunch of favorites. And oh, by the way, there's a reason that it's been since 1970. Why is it so hard? I mean, we've had I think six teams that have gone into the Final Four undefeated, and none of them have come out. None of them. Yeah. Only one team made the final.
Why do you think it's so hard, Daniel?
Why is it so hard?
Yeah,
because any given like that one game, it could just be that one game that your team just they're not clicking, or you know you come up against a team that's super hot and they're just rolling in that one game and it's over. Like you look up, man, like man, what happened? Like how did we not win this game? And so, that's why it's hard, man. It's March Madness because literally anything can happen. Any team can beat anybody.
What's the highest seed you guys were at Duke when you were there?
The highest I was the one seed 3 out of 4 years.
So you were upset.
You didn't have pressure.
You only got one Final Four out of that. So let me ask you, what did you guys feel that pressure? Do you feel more pressure as a one, or when things are get tight in the second half? Did you feel like you guys tightened up, or what happened with you? Do you remember the games and the situations?
No, to answer the first part of that question, we go into every season expecting to be, you know, champions of the ACC, champions of the ACC tournament. You know, we plan for a national championship just about every year, realistically. You know, when we have a good team, realistically, we know we're trying to play for a national championship. Obviously that doesn't happen every year, but that's the expectation. So you go to Duke knowing that. So, there's no pressure when you get a one seed. That's what we expect. But like I said, I can go through each year. My first year, the team was coming off the national championship with Shane Battier. And so he had left and went to the NBA. We're returning seven players from that team. Four of those players were starters. Jason Williams, Chris Duhon, Mike Brunley, Carlos Boozer. So I'm coming from high school, coming off of a high school state championship. I'm coming into Duke thinking like, hey, man, like, all right, add me into that mix and, you know, I learned from these guys, and we're going to have another run at winning the back-to-back national championship. And we almost lost in the second round to Notre Dame that year. Notre Dame had a pretty good team with Chris Thomas, Ryan Humphries, and one of the Carroll brothers. And I just happened to have a really big game as a freshman. I had at the time, it was my career high. I had 18 points off the bench, 5-3. So that kind of saved us that game. And we go into the Sweet 16 against an Indiana team. That Indiana team went on to beat us and go on to play in the national championship that year and lose. But we wasn't supposed to, like, the odds of that game, we wasn't supposed to lose to that Indiana team. And so, like I said, it's just the day, man, if you don't show up, then you get sent home. And then it's that simple.
Daniel Ewing, how did you feel about Duke not making it this year? Is it sad?
I mean, it sucks because you want to see your team in it. But like I said, realistically, I knew Duke wasn't most likely going to make it. The only chance they had of possibly making it was if they had was able to finish the ACC tournament and win the entire ACC tournament. Other than that, then I don't think Duke had a chance of making it.
I was sad. I'm a Duke. I like Duke. Everybody hates Duke, Daniel. Okay. But I like Duke. Oh, whoa, you mean the good kids that get good grades and they graduate and they win? Okay. Why do we hate them?
Hey, it's one and done Duke but now. That's a different Duke.
It's all out there, Daniel. You know what? Just shake off the haters, Daniel. Just shake them off.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? We have a lot of bandwagoners now. I think that, like when I was in school in early 90s, I think Duke was very, like the most hated team in college basketball.
Oh, easily.
I think, easily, right?
Yeah.
Now I think a lot of people, like a lot of people have jumped on the bandwagon, and you know, and we've become like kind of like the cool school because, you know, Coach K worked with the NBA guys, with the Dream Team, and you know, the relationship with LeBron and the late Kobe Bryant, you know, all those guys, they see that. And then, like you said, the one-and-done situation, we've had some spectacular talent come through there being one-and-done that people have gravitated to. So I think we've moved from the most hated to, I think we're in the middle now.
Like, I think people still hate you.
No.
Of course.
No, I think some of that has changed.
Yeah, no. Well, it's about that.
Because you guys haven't won championships here lately, so.
Dell hates him. Of course, you know, he's
an ACC guy, so it doesn't matter. He's a Miami guy.
I don't hate them anymore.
You don't hate them? Why? Because they're not good?
I mean, why do I care? They're not good, so.
You hear that, Daniel? That's hatred.
Hey, I mean, we wasn't that good this year, so.
No?
You got to take the good with the bad.
No, I definitely hated them when he played. They were annoying. Oh, look, they're winning again. Great.
Listen, when you got great guys like Grayson Allen and Woj, and you just got great people that are coming every year. Okay, and just great people. I mean, I don't know how you people can hate him. That's all I'm saying, Daniel.
I wasn't a Greg Newton fan personally, and but I
Christian
hated
Laettner. Everybody
I
loved
hated
Christian
Laettner.
Everybody loved Christian Laettner.
Nah,
Bobby nobody. Hurley. Are you kidding me?
But you know what? After I saw that Laettner doc, did you watch the Laettner documentary they had, Daniel?
The Laettner documentary.
It was on ESPN.
It's called,
right?
I Hate Christian Laettner.
Yeah. It was called I Hate Christian Laettner.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was.
Yes.
Why? Did you like him more after that?
You know what? I always knew Christian Laettner was. I don't know. I just have more of an appreciation for him because he always was a great player.
Yeah.
He's a great college player. Duke has had some great college players. But yeah, I just think, you know, it just rubbed people the wrong way for a lot of years. But it's when you looked at what they did, like. You can't really, if you took the name Duke off of it, you wouldn't have had problems with it. If you just saw the results,
right.
People would have liked
right.
it.
Yeah.
Right. I think, like I said, it's just been a stereotype for so long. Mm-hmm. You know, people thinking that, if, you know, Duke, so you associate Duke with, you know, being, you know, having certain financial status. You
right.
know, which is not the case for the players. You know, yeah, granted, the kids, the regular students that go there, most likely that's the case. But for the players, it's not the case, but, you know, you associate that, and then, you know, you're thinking about, you know, I don't know. It's just, like I said, the stereotype of, you know, what you think a Duke player is. I think that's what a lot of people hadn't liked for so long.
I got to just.
But how can you not like a team that wins? Right?
Yeah.
Like how do you not like a program that wins?
Everybody hates a winner, Daniel. That's exactly the point.
He asked the question. I can tell him how you hate him.
Yeah, how Del.
You know, my stance on Duke changed a little bit when I saw Greg Powell go play quarterback at Syracuse. Okay, you've taken enough of a beating. I'm going to leave you guys alone. Because you remember his grad year, he went to go play quarterback
at Syracuse.
Totally
forgot that.
Yeah, he was their point guard and then went to Syracuse to go play quarterback.
Pretty good.
No, he wasn't good.
Yeah, pretty damn good athlete. Yeah. Oh, yeah?
Coming out of high school, I think he was like one of the top quarterbacks coming out of high school. I think he was like an All-American quarterback also.
Yeah.
Coming out of high school.
Right, but he had his brother in front of him, so he had to play basketball, right?
Who, Greg Paulus?
Ron.
No, it's not the same. They're not spelled the same.
That's not the same?
No.
9 o'clock, ESPN 97. Daniel, just shake him off. I have to shake him off. You know, all these people here hate winners. I got to shake him off all the time. You got to shake him off. All right?
Yeah.
All right. We appreciate it, man. Thanks for hanging with us, Daniel, as always.
Man, I appreciate you guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks. There is Daniel Ewing with us here.
So you're Taylor Swift and a Duke fan now? With all the shake them off stuff,
shake
that what you're
a
doing?
Lot of shake them off.
That's right. That's right. That's what you got to do. You got to shake them off. That's what Art told me. Just tell them, shake it off.
I feel like I know what some of our bumper music's going to be in the night.
Oh, we are gonna hear a lot of Taylor.
Time
Swift
to talk about. Time to talk about my man Doc Lindville over at 975hair.com. I tried to get last night. I tried to get Jackie on it, and he just refuses to be a hair guy. I mean, he wants to be bald. He wants to buff his head instead of being, you know, one of the good people, you know, with hair. And here's the deal is you can do it. All you got to do is go to 975hair.com, and the doc is going to take care of you. You will love the consultation. You will love the entire process. You'll love the people that you'll love how accommodating they are. You'll love the entire neo grafting process. You're going to love everything about what Doc Linville is going to do for you. The end result, and it takes a while to grow in and everything else, but the end result after about 7-8 months is that you got hair. Nobody's going to make fun of you because you're bald. You can look in the mirror and feel great about it. You will love it. Try it. At least find out about it. 975hair.com, 975hair.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.